Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You worked all week.
Work.
You didn't have time to look at your fantasy lineups.
Son of a b-.
But don't be afraid.
That's why we give you Weekend Fantasy Update.
Woohoo! Working on.
Working hard on the weekend. It's the Weekend Fantasy Update. Mike Blewett, along with two co-hosts today. It's been a while, boys, but we finally got together. Joe Galina and George Kurtz with me this Sunday morning. Thanks for joining us on August 4th on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You can hear us on iTunes, on TuneIn Radio, on iHeartRadio, and other terrestrial radio stations around the country. And first of all, it's been a while since I've had a chance to talk to you. What's going on, Joe Galina?
Just happy to be with the gang, right? Mike, we haven't been together on air in a while. It's been a crazy summer.
It's been a while.
A lot of fun in baseball yesterday, and we're going to be talking a lot of fantasy football later as well. So this is a great time of year just to be part of fantasy sports.
Yeah, I got a lot of overlap today. And then, my buddy George Kurtz, George, like we talked for like hours yesterday, so I'm not going to get all gushy over you.
Believe me, I feel the same way.
George.
All right. It's nice to know that you two can be in the same show at the same time. As, every week, I need Saturday. No, I can't work. No, I got to hear both of you two bitch about not being able to work a Saturday together. I thought maybe you two were the same person.
Yeah. No. It's,
have you ever seen us in the same room, George?
We
I think I have, actually. I believe I have.
The last time I think we were in the same room together, I was complaining about New Jersey Transit, I believe, and that fateful Sunday afternoon. It took me hours to get back and forth to the Meadowlands. But we did have a lot of action on the diamond yesterday. We'll spend the first hour doing some baseball because it is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we got to keep you abreast of the situation. It is certainly football season in fantasy world, but we are going to still keep an eye on baseball. My team in my league that Joe Galina is in with me is sort of falling apart in front of me. I've had a really good season, but this week might be a death. I mean, I'll probably make the playoffs, but Joe, I'm struggling right now. I just got really weird injuries. I currently don't have a second baseman. Chris Sale is terrible. And I'll let you comment on that first. You might as well start there. Because Sale is my guy that I hemmed and hawed over the Sale versus DeGrom choice at the end of that first round. And Sale, it's one thing to be bad, but he's just getting lit up now regularly. And the last two starts have been brutal.
Yeah, you wonder, what's going on? Is there an underlying situation where maybe this guy just needs to be put on the IL, almost like a, take a break, stay away from the game, and just regroup. I mean, obviously he got off to that horrendous start to start the season. The velocity was down to start, and then it kind of gradually came up, and it started to pitch a little better. Always had given you that maintained that high strikeout rate, but hey, look, the Yankees have his number. I mean, look at his numbers from yesterday, 8 earned runs and 3.2 innings pitched. So, a lot of people put their focus on drafting him as one of the top, probably five starting pitchers in preseason fantasy. Definitely has not been the Sale of old. So I think maybe even if it's a phantom IL stint for him, I think it might do him some good just to, like I said, step away and try to regroup a little bit.
George, 5-11, 4.68 ERA on the season. He's given up 22 homers, but these last three starts, like Joe said, it seemed like he was kind of turning it around. He had some not so good outings, but it wasn't like this. And the last three outings, 8 earned runs in 3 2/3, 8 earned runs in 6 earned runs in 5 1/3. Those last two outings have been brutal, both at the hands of the Yankees. So do you agree with Joe? Is this an IL stint?
No, they won't be a phantom IL stint. They can't do that. They're out of the playoff picture right now. Boston's been known for doing stuff like that, but only when they were in the playoffs. They could afford to put their starters on a 2-week vacation in the middle of the season. They can't afford to do that right now.
They did with Sale last year when they had a big lead. Yeah.
Right. A phantom IL stint's not going to happen now. They're out of the playoff hunt. They got to win some games. They've lost now, 1-4-7 in a row, I believe it is. So they've got some issues to put it nicely. Sale is 0-4 against the Yankees this year with an ERA almost 10. All right, and it's not just against the Yankees struggling. His ball is flattening out. He admitted it in between starts against the Yankees. He said when he was in the stretch, he thought that his ball was his pitches were flattening out. He thought he made adjustments during the week. Apparently not. So, we'll see what happens with Chris Sale there. But he hasn't been the pitcher all year long. I don't know if you can be all that surprised about it.
Go ahead.
I lost my train of thought now.
I cut you off. I wanted you to stay with the Sox in general. Sale is obviously a big issue, but it's problematic with losing 7 in a row. Can you put your finger on what you think has gone wrong here?
Well, I mean, their pitching staff has struggled all season. Porcello's been pretty much a batting practice pitcher. Sale's been poor. Erod's been good. Eduardo Rodriguez has actually been probably their best pitcher. David Price has been okay. They really haven't had that fifth starter all year. Cashner, since acquired from Baltimore, has had 4 starts, 3 poor, 1 good one. The only good one against the Yankees last week in Fenway. So their starting pitching is struggling. We know their bullpen has been a disaster pretty much all season long. I think they have 19 blown saves this year. So they have issues. They can hit. But even that's been somewhat inconsistent other than the top four, right? Betts, Benintendi, Bogarts, J.D. Martinez. Devers been very good. Benintendi's backs have been so-so. So there's a lot of pressure on that offense to score runs. If they don't score, they have a hard time. This team seems to never have recovered from not – I don't think re-signing Craig Kimbrell would have been the cure-all here. But the fact that they signed nobody – at the back end of that bullpen seems to have hurt. All the relievers are out of focus, so they're not where they're comfortable. They've had guys close who had never closes before. And some guys just can't handle it. They're better off in the seventh and eighth inning. They pitch great in the seventh and eighth inning, but you put them in the ninth inning, all of a sudden things go wrong here. And they didn't sign anybody. They let Kimbrell go, which is probably the right thing. He hasn't been all that great with the Cubs either, but they signed nobody else. They went with Barnes, Brazier, Workman. Anybody they could find. Mike Blewett, can you pitch? Get close for us. That sort of thing. And they tried everybody. It hasn't worked. And I think that's filtered down through the entire team. But the starting staff has to pick it up as well. I mean, this is pretty much the same team that won the World Series last year. Other than a couple of players, it's the same team.
Yeah.
So to have this big a fall-off, surprising.
Yeah. And I wonder if sort of emotionally what George said, plus your ace pitcher, Joe, is a mess. It has to have some sort of impact. It's why George and I talked about yesterday that each team really is its own microcosm. Yes, you have dynasties, and yes, the Patriots have had this continuous run, and the Yankees obviously had a run at the end of the previous century, but really each individual team, I think that's what I was most impressed about with the Red Sox as an organization over these last 15 years, is that like 04 and 07, that's the same core. But they really ripped it all down. And then that 2013 team was a very random collection. They signed a bunch of mid-level free agents that all worked out. Salta Lamacchia, and the first baseman always had a back problem, I'm remembering. But Karp and all these guys just worked out for them at the same time. I was always irritated as a Yankees fan, but also impressed with the Sox being able to do that. And then last year was actually looked like this beginning of a dynasty. Young players, George mentioned the top four, Martinez coming in free agency, but also Devers, who's now a star. And I just wonder if emotionally not signing those guys plus having Sale be so bad is impacting this team, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, because that's something that we don't usually think about, just like the emotional point of having a guy that you could throw out there every fifth day, and that's going to put the brakes on, let's say, a little mini losing streak, psychologically not having, Sale go out there and be able to be the dominant pitcher that he always has. I mean, it's not like George said, you have to put this on the pitching, because when you look at their offense, just numbers-wise, I mean, they still have scored the most runs in the AL. And like you mentioned, Devers is having a career year. Mookie Betts got off to a slow start, but he's come on. J.D. Martinez had gotten off to a little bit of a slow start, and he was in and out of the lineup as well with his back, back problems there. So, it takes me back to, back in 1978, and I know I'm dating myself, with Ron Guidry when he was 25-3. The Yankees up until June had been floundering, and Guidry, you just knew that every fifth game he was going to just put the brakes and pitch a great game. So, I mean, to have Sale not be that guy this year, I think it's got to take a little bit of an emotional toll on him. Yeah, great point.
Yeah. So, George, on the flip side of things, obviously the Yankees come away here. Take the first three from the Sox, who desperately need this one today. They've desperately needed all of these games, frankly. As you said, they're out of the playoff, position right now. But the Yanks pour it on DJ LeMahieu, who's getting chance of MVP, and it isn't far-fetched. He's been that good. LeMahieu goes 4-for-5 yesterday, a couple of more homers in the second game. Gleyber Torres, a couple of homers himself. He's got a DiMaggio-esque thing going on. He's first player under 23 years of age with 5 multi-homer games. So the good news is they have guys that keep stepping up. The bad news is, George, they lose Edwin Encarnacion and possibly Aaron Hicks for a long period of time. Encarnacion, I think you can't expect anything from him really basically for the rest of the regular season. And then Hicks, that is going to be an MRI that the Yankees are waiting on with bated breath, but it's not good right now.
Yeah, those who haven't heard, Edwin Encarnacion hit with an 87-mile-per-hour breaking ball yesterday. Bad spot, hit him in the wrist. And we all know wrist, hand, a lot of little bones in there. He broke one. He fractured it. So he's gone 4 to 6 weeks. As Mike just said, he's on your fantasy team. You can say goodbye. Even if you get lucky and it's 4 weeks, you're talking first week in September here, and that's highly unlikely. And it's more like 6 weeks, mid-September. And wrist, hand injuries, batter coming back from it. It's tough to see him really helping the Yankees, maybe the rest of the season, including into the playoffs. This is a rough one for the Yankees because they've lost Luke Voit as well here. So not good there. As far as Aaron Hicks, we are still waiting for the results. I expect him to be placed on the IL before tonight's game, mainly because the Yankees, since they don't like having many players, many position players on their roster, they like to have going, 13, 14 pitchers, they won't have an extra outfielder. So they almost have no choice but to put Hicks on the IL. And Hicks himself, if you heard his interview yesterday, did not sound optimistic. That's always a bad thing, because players always sound optimistic about these things. Right? Usually ends up, even in Arsenal, it looked like he was fine, then ended up with a broken wrist. Hicks all but said that it did, something's wrong here. I think this happened on the bottom play, if you saw there, where the tag got the third. The guy did end up not going. Hicks threw it a bullet, but my guess is that's when he hurt the elbow there. So not good. Yeah. Not good at all for the Yankees. They will wait to see what happens, but I would expect Hicks to be put on the IL. And hey, maybe we'll finally get to see Clint Frazier again, who's been banished to Scranton for. They have not wanted to call him up.
Hilarious, because that was my first thought. It's like, now they can't. Now they almost have no choice. The Yankees have done everything they can, Joe, to keep him in Scranton, and now they have no choice. They need an outfielder in a hurry, and Frazier wasn't traded, so what is the point now? Just bring him up. He's better, as George has said in the past. He's respect to Mike Tauchman, who's had a big hit yesterday in the nightcap, but he's a better player talent wise than Tauchman, and they've just decided to keep Frazier down there. So this seems like finally a point where Clint Frazier can be hopefully welcomed back with open arms by players and fans alike, although I'm sure there'll be some boos out there for him.
Yeah, and you know, George had mentioned, you know, the things that led to kind of the Yankees kind of being a little having a, I guess, we'll quote unquote punish him, you know, taking the full 3 days to report to his minor league assignment, and then leading up to the trade deadline, just keeping him down in the minor leagues. Didn't really help his trade value. So, but yeah, I mean, based on what he did on the field, other than those games where he kind of lost it defensively, I mean, he's just as good as any of these outfielders, other than, you know, Judge. I mean, he deserves to be up with the big club.
Would Joe, ALDS game one, Domingo Germán your starter?
I'd have to say yes. Yeah, at this point, yes.
Yeah. George, you agree?
Yeah, I don't see how you're going to start anybody else, but there will be an innings limit here.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back to Weekend Fantasy Update, and the NFL season is now upon us. So you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament setting their lineups using the DailyRoto.com DFS lineup optimizer, or become one of the countless number of people who have won thousands of dollars playing DFS using DailyRoto.com. So if you're playing Daily Fantasy Sports and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Head on over and check out their tools for NFL, MLB, PGA, NBA, NHL, and sports wagering, or get access to all of them with the Daily Roto Elite Package. Just the other night, I was saying this on yesterday's show with George, Colin Drew, who does a significant amount of the writing and sort of oversees DailyRoto.com website and Roto Experts as well. He won yet another showdown. It's become his expert area. So he took down another huge prize the other night on the showdown for the Falcons-Broncos Hall of Fame game. So kudos to him. Enter promo code ACTION, A-C-T-I-O-N, for a 10% discount, and you'll get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, and use of the same Daily Roto lineup optimizers that have produced millions in DFS winnings. It's DailyRoto.com, promo code ACTION, DailyRoto.com, where millionaires are made. So there was a lot going on. We focused on Yanks Sox on the onset because there's just a lot of storylines coming out of there. But there were big goings on yesterday, George. We had the Astros for a combined no-hitter. We previewed Aaron Sanchez yesterday, and he comes out and spins a gem as part of the combined no-hitter. We had Nelson Cruz, who has a second three-home run game in 10 days. We had the Indians on fire. Baker Mayfield shotgunning beers in honor of Francisco Lindor. And Walker Buehler with 15 strikeouts yesterday in a complete game gem yesterday. So there's a lot of different ways to go, George, but let's start with the Astros no-hitter. We're all awaiting what kind of impact Greinke has, but they bolster the rotation even further with Aaron Sanchez, and he goes out there and spins a gem in his first game.
I mean, what are you saying to yourself right now if you're the Blue Jays? This guy sucked all year. Pretty much sucked the past couple of years, right? Had the blister issues and the finger issues, the nail issues, everything else. His first start with Houston, and he's throwing a gem. He didn't get the no-hitter. He threw 90-plus pitches in the sixth innings, so he had to come out. But, I mean, really, what are you thinking if you're the Blue Jays right now? It's like, are you kidding me? They fixed him in 5 days? Not even 5 days. He got traded on Wednesday. They fixed him in 3 days. You know, I mean, if I'm the Jays, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You just have to be kidding me. You're shaking your head right now. You traded Stroman light, right? You traded him to the Mets. You saw what Bauer went for, what Greinke went for, and Stroman's not that far behind those guys, if any, behind Bauer. All right, but you traded him light. You traded Sanchez, really, Sanchez trying to get rid of the guy almost. And also, he's throwing gems here. Unbelievable. I mean, are the Astros, are they like just that good at fixing pitchers? Really, it was just scary. I know it's Seattle, not exactly the greatest offense. We'll see what happens here, but certainly a good sign. And now, more importantly, it's Sunday night. You're going to have to bid on this guy who's available in your league and Fab's running, where I wasn't all that high on him before, but now I'm like, you know, God, he's not going to keep this up. He's going to give up some hits. But if you need wins, he's on Houston. He's going to start every 5 days. He can gather you some wins. If he can get his ratios under control as well, strike out some batters, he's valuable tonight now. So all of a sudden, he's going to go for a much higher price than I would have expected.
Joe, he had a 6.07 ERA and a 1.69 whip, to George's point. The relievers that combined in no-hitter, by the way, are Will Harris, Joe Biagini, and Chris Davinsky. It's the second combined no-hitter against Seattle this year, and the other one just happened a few weeks ago. The Angels did it on July 12th to them. So the Astros have now won 13 of 16. This is crazy. To improve to 72-40. It's their best record ever after 112 games. So it was a very good team. George and I talked yesterday. It was our favorite to come out of the American League already. And now here they are. The second pitcher that they got is the guy that's out there spinning gems. So is this just a runaway freight train, in your opinion, the Astros now?
Yeah, after they made that trade for Greinke, I kind of tweeted at us, hey, you know, basically it's going to be the Dodgers and the Astros in the World Series. When you look at this, I mean, you know, Justin Verlander, who's another pitcher that, you know, basically they shaved a run off his ERA as soon as he got to the Astros when he got traded from the Tigers, right? Verlander was a great pitcher. They made him even greater. But just, you know, their top three starting pitchers, you know, Verlander, Cole, Greinke now, decent bullpen, potent offense. It doesn't look good for the rest of the American League, I'll tell you. And it's going to be if it's the Dodgers and the Astros, it's going to be some fight, because the Dodgers as well have a nice top three there as well, starting pitching. So the rich just keep on getting richer, right?
yeah, no doubt. Honestly, if Sanchez pitches like this, well, George, what kind of control does Sanchez have left on this contract? This is not a rental, is it?
You know, when it comes to Sanchez, you know, he's actually been okay this season through the first time through the order. You know, first three innings, first time through the order. It's his second time, the third time where he's had problems here. So that's always been the issue there. Now, you mentioned his control with Houston. In other words, is he a rental? Is he going on here? We know that Zach Greinke has two more years after this year. This is why I'm a big believer that they won't be able to re-sign Garrett Cole. He's making too much money. As for Sanchez, he avoided arbitration this year by the signing a one-year deal. So the question would be, does he have any more arbitration years left? And for that, Mike, you'll have to give me a second to look that up for you. But I will do that, because that's the kind
earliest
of guy
arbitration
I am.
Eligible. He signed through 2020. Earliest arbitration eligible 2020. Earliest free agent 2021. So we'll have him for next year. So you brought up the Cole thing that we talked about yesterday. Imagine if he starts pitching great and Cole walks, but they just have added Greinke and a good Aaron Sanchez. They're not going to care that Cole left, because the rotation will still be deep. In fact, deeper than it was, which is just sort of crazy. But
not to mention the money they'll save. Cole's going to get about 30 million a year.
Yeah, no kidding. You'll get Aaron Sanchez on the cheap. So, all right, next place to go. Joe, you mentioned the Dodgers, so I'll go there with you. Walker Buehler fires his second complete game, strikes out 15. And he said, having 75 pitches and wanting to get deep into games kind of teaches you that stuff, Buehler said after dazzling the Padres in a 4-1 Dodgers win. A lot of people want to talk about pitch counts and things like that, but when you get restricted, I think you can learn some stuff, and I've tried to carry that over to this year. Luckily, I'm more efficient than years past. So he's saying when he was being restricted on pitch limits, it was teaching him how to be more efficient and try to get deeper into games, even with that limited pitch count. So he's been great. And, talk for a minute about Buehler. Clearly, some people had big expectations for him, but probably not this big. He's been great.
Yeah, well, I mean, the people who had big expectations and invested a draft pick in preseason, you know, for the first month of the season, month of April, 5.22 ERA. That's an interesting take. I like that he feels that the limiting of the pitches made him actually a better pitcher. But when you look at what he's done, I mean, since then, he's had 11 strikeouts in a game, 16 strikeouts in a game, 11 strikeouts in a game. So with the Clayton Kershaw kind of, leveling off and not being the dominant pitcher that we remember. I mean, there's always the chance that he's going to hit the IL and whatnot. Bueller's the heir apparent, and when you look at what he's done, since April, his numbers, the 2.65 ERA, 128 strikeouts and 102 innings. So, team like the Dodgers, the riches keep on getting richer. I mean, Kershaw is not kind of sliding off a little bit, and Buehler will step right into that number one slot. And then, of course, you have Ryu as well. So Dodgers are in good shape.
Yeah. So Dodgers are the only team in the league with a better record than the Astros, a half game better than George. Any challengers? How do you see the National League thing playing out? We're starting to get to a point where we start looking at matchups. How is this going to play out? You think that now the Dodgers, obviously we know they have bullpen issues, and I think you've even said you don't know what that's going to look like come October, but are they just so powerful? They obviously hit the ball all over the place and have such strong starting pitching. Do you think that at least gets them through the National League, or do you think that they're a question mark as soon as we get to October because of the bullpen?
I mean, the bullpen has issues. I don't know if it's a huge question mark, but it has issues. It's certainly not the strength of the team. We know what they were looking for upgrades. They wanted Edwin Diaz, Vasquez, Toto Iglesias. So they couldn't make that deal work. Everybody wanted Gavin Lux from them. By the way, they have another superstar in waiting. And he's a shortstop, so I don't know where he's going to go. Maybe somebody has to go to second base eventually, or third base for that matter, and Justin Turner, whatever. But they have another superstar in waiting there. That's how good this organization is here. For the Dodgers, I think you're worried about two things. One, you have a starting pitching. Yes, Buehler's great, not worried about him. Kershaw's actually been very good, so not worried about him. But Ryu, the problem with Ryu has always been, can he last a full season on the IL again? Now, this may be where it's a little break thing. They're calling it a neck injury. I'm not saying it's not. It very well could be. But it could be, your neck's bothering you? Take a couple of weeks off. That sort of thing. They don't need him. Let's get him some rest here. But that's always been his issue. Can he go? He hasn't made more than 30 starts in a season since 2013. Other than that, it's been 26, 1, 24, 15. He's got 21 this season. So he never had more than 200 innings pitched in a season. So you wonder, can he do it? Can he keep it up? So we'll see how he pitches into the postseason. Kershaw, we know his story. Postseason, he's had some troubles. I believe the seventh inning has been his biggest trouble, right? He's had a lot of troubles in the seventh inning in the postseason, which also lets you know that, hey, they may need to rely on that bullpen a little bit more. So I think that's where the problem arises there. Ryu, is it just a two-week break? You're giving a little vacation here? I think it's a combination of both. Sure, I think the neck is bothering him, but we'll give him a break too. I think if they were, they were only a game ahead or a game out, all of a sudden Ryu would be starting right about now. But the bullpen can be an issue. We've seen that in the playoffs before, where it doesn't perform all so well. The fact that they wanted to upgrade lets you know what they feel about the bullpen. I mean, it's full of Pedro Baez, Joe Kelly, Julio Urias, Yimi Garcia, and not exactly blow away guys here. I know Kelly was very good last year in the playoffs. Maybe he can pick it up again. So we'll see. But then again, if that's your biggest bugaboo, I like your chances here. To answer your question, the only team in the National League I could see giving them a run would be Atlanta. But I think Atlanta has issues of their own. I mean, Shane Green comes on last night. He blows the save. That's kind of funny. For Atlanta, they still can't get that down. They can hit. We know the Braves can hit.
Funny, George.
But the starting staff, really, does anyone think Keuchel, Turan? I like Soroka. Freed, Gausman. Do you think that's competing with Kershaw, Ryu, Buehler? No, I don't see that. I think the Dodgers, I think their next important game is against Houston in the World Series.
Yeah, the amazing thing about those three pitchers that you mentioned is just the extreme strikeout-to-walk ratio of all three. Right now, Walker Buehler, 152 Ks on the season and 20 walks. Kershaw, per usual, 122 Ks, 27 walks. And Ryu, 117 strikeouts, 16 walks. They just don't put guys on. It's pretty amazing that they have three guys pitching with that exceptional level of control. So, okay, we had some other stories I was going to get to. And, yeah, the last one. George, we talked about – might as well talk about the Indians. We talked about the Indians yesterday and, like, yeah, maybe this collection of players and this sort of retooling on the fly. I don't want to call it a rebuild because they're only a couple of games out of first place and they were in the playoffs. But this retooling of the lineup might be energizing. You got Baker Mayfield out there shotgunning beers, wearing a Francisco Lindor jersey. Lindor goes yard. You got Carlos Santana going yard. Is this – people said it for a while, even though we were – you and I were taking the Indians under at the beginning of the season, and people were ready to put a fork in the Indians at some point. But now, is this a scary team? Are they going to – do you think that they have enough to put it together to scare teams in October?
Well, there's some ifs that depend on there. If – Carrasco can come back and be Carrasco. If Kluber can come back and be Kluber. I mean, right now they're beating up on, you know, weaker teams, which a lot, everybody in the American League does. A lot of bad teams.
Sure.
Right? So they got to go up against better teams, Minnesota, the Yankees, Houston. I mean, depending on who has the best record, Cleveland could face Houston first round. Think about that. The Yankees could face Houston first round. That's a lot of fun now, isn't it? You know, so you don't know where it's going yet. That being said, you know, we like Houston so much because it's Verlander, Cole, Greinke. You know, you want to go down Miley and Sanchez. Well, you know, Cleveland theoretically is deeper. Not as strong, but deeper. You know, they could go Kluber, Clevinger, Carrasco, Bieber, whatever order you want to throw them in. You know, Kluber has had problems in the postseason, but once again, theoretically, the fact that he's had so much time off this regular season, he'll be fresher in the postseason. But, of course, you're hoping he's back to being Kluber. He wasn't very good before he got hurt this year. Carrasco, how's he going to be coming back from the leukemia? We don't know. It's a lot of we don't know here. But if everything goes their way, well, then you think about it. Cleveland sort of fixed their problem. Their problem was never the pitching. They had the depth to overcome that. Their problem was the hitting. Now, Puig, for all, you know, for whatever he is, he does add energy to a lineup. Right, Reyes, we know Reyes can hit, he can't catch. You know, that sort of thing. So I thought the Bauer trade was a good move for them to make. I said it many times. I thought it was a trade they had to make if they could pull off what I wanted them to do, which was trade Bauer, but get talent, offensive talent that can help you this season. And I think they did that. I think they did very well there. So, yeah, I think Cleveland's a team to be reckoned with there. But the problem is, no matter what anybody does, you're still facing the monster in Houston. And that's the problem. That's why I don't blame Cashman for not making this deal with the Yankees. Never did. Because even if you give the Yankees any starting pitcher that was out there, hell, you can give them Thor. You know, the Mets were never going to trade Thor to the Yankees. But even if you put Thor on the Yankee rotation right now, do you think that Yankee rotation is better than Houston's? Or better than Cleveland's?
No way. No chance.
No.
No.
No. Unless you added two or three starting pitchers you weren't going to match. So that's why I never got on Cashman. I think people who are yelling at Cashman for not adding a pitcher are being silly. I think he did the right thing. The prices were too high, and you weren't going to be able to match Houston anyway. I think Yankees can still beat Cleveland, but Houston's going to be a big-ass problem because they can hit as well as the Yankees can.
Joe, to George's point, Clevinger's been lights out since the All-Star break. Adam Plutko actually has a nice outing yesterday. Goes 5 1/3, gives up a run, gets the win. Did you blame the Yankees at all for not making moves? George and I talked about it pretty extensively yesterday, but I'd love to hear your comment quickly.
Well, I mean, Cashman's always been a prudent guy when it comes to, you know, preserving the farm system and whatnot. So to George's point, he's right in a way. I mean, look, you know, would I have loved to have tried to trade for Greinke? Yeah, would I have loved to try to trade for Robbie Ray? But, you know, can Greinke withstand, you know, with his anxiety issues pitching under the, you know, in front of the New York media and the fans? So, no, I don't blame Cashman. I like what he's done. I like what he's done with the Yankees over the years.
Only one World Series is central. Keep it going.
Yeah. Next year we'll sign Cole.
Get on the move here. Yeah, hopefully.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Sunday morning, rocking out with Joe Galina and George Kurtz. You can find us on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Joe is at Joe Galina. And George is at George Kurtz. How about that? Clean sweep on no weird Twitter handles. Just going by the name. So I appreciate y'all joining us on this Sunday morning. We're talking a little baseball right now for the next 15 minutes. And then we'll get into fantasy football, drafts, news, everything else. Jason Braddock will be on. Jason Braddock covers the Texans locally in Houston. Friend of ours here on this network. So he's going to be nice enough to join us in the 11 o'clock hour at 11:20 or so. Anyway, there's a good article here by Richard Justice on MLB.com about injured players who could impact races. Now, unfortunately, the Yankees are adding two more to the list from yesterday. But as George stated, aptly stated, it is really a lost season at this point for Encarnacion. I don't think you can expect him to impact the race for the rest of the year. Aaron Hicks would be a big blow to the Yankees defensively, obviously. Plus, he adds a lot in the bat, his ability to switch hit. And I think he's a big emotional leader on the team as well. So that would be a huge loss. But there's a list here of other guys that, and I'll just sort of cherry pick a few and let you guys comment on them. So according to Richard Justice, these 11 players can impact races. And Max Scherzer is where it starts, George. He's critical to his team's postseason hopes, and the Nationals seem optimistic he'll return this month. If he's healthy for the playoffs, the Nationals suddenly become a very formidable opponent. It's been a shoulder neck issue for him. Do you think that this really makes the Nats a threat? Obviously, they'd need him to be a threat, but do you think it really makes him a legitimate threat if and when he comes back?
Well, he better come back. Now, once again, it gives them a puncher's chance, because with that row, you have three men you're lining up there, Scherzer, Strasburg, who got wrecked last night, and Corbin, you got a shot, right? So you're probably not catching the Braves. So you look at Scherzer in that wild card. That's why these teams chasing that wild card. Yeah, have fun. Yeah, you get the wild card, and you get to go face Max Scherzer. Boy, what a blast for you there. I think Scherzer. And he's up there in age, so you're worried a little bit about it. It is a back injury now. He's had multiple injuries now in a couple of weeks and a little month span. He is expected to return at some point this week. We don't know the exact date yet. But Washington, they're in that wild card spot. They're actually tied with Philadelphia for that second wild card spot right now. So they're there, but you know, this team can hit a little bit. They didn't re-sign Anthony Rendon, which is surprising. I'm surprised that we're not hearing more about it. They're going to take a chance on losing Harper and Rendon in back-to-back years. Strasburg could opt out of his contract at the end of this year. So there's a lot of interesting little nuggets going on in the Nationals here. This may be the last hurrah for this team if they can get in there. That being said, I don't think they're a World Series contender.
Don't they have to sign Rendon,
George? You would, but they low-balled Harper. Are they going to low-ball Rendon too? He's not going to get Harper money, but he's going to get a good chunk of change. I mean, I think they have to, yeah. But for a team that has billionaire owners, they seem to sometimes operate on the cheap. They like signing their pitching, but they don't necessarily like going after their hitting. Now, they may have thought with Harper that, well, we got Robles, we got Soto. So that could have been their thinking there. They don't have anybody for Rendon. You know, so maybe that changes their mind here. But I would have thought, you know, Mike, we're in August. You know, unless Rendon, I haven't heard that Rendon said, hey, I'm not negotiating, I'm going to hit free agency. You would think that you would have heard a little bit more about contract talks here. But hey, that may just be me.
Yeah. I remember reading an article at the beginning of the year where, as much as Harper was this lightning rod of energy, both negative and positive, Rendon is really sort of the heart and soul guy for the Nats. and there were offers that they didn't accept. But to your point, it may have been low ball. And I think it might have been a scenario where, like, if we don't get something done by this date, I just don't want to talk about it. Not that I'm taking my talents to free agency, just that I just don't want to talk about it during the season. I don't want it hanging over my head. I seem to remember that being a thing. And by the way, you highlighted a couple guys that got bombed yesterday. My team really has fallen apart, Joe Galina, since you're in the league with me. I got Germán Márquez left with a body cramp the other day. Eliash left with a cramp the other day. Shane Green got bombed. Matt Barnes blew a game yesterday. Chris Sale got hammered yesterday. Wade Davis got bent. This is my whole team. This is everybody I'm mentioning I own. Wade Davis got benched in favor of Oberg, who I thankfully have been owning. Well, not thankfully. I've owned him for like 6 weeks, knowing that this was going to happen. And my team's falling apart. It's falling apart. I got Moncada on the DL. Kike Hernandez hits the DL. Angelton Simmons got hurt yesterday. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. I finally get Marcell Ozuna back, but he's working with two broken fingers. I don't know what the hell is going to happen there. Anyway, that's it. I'm going to stop complaining there, but I'm losing badly here, which I thought was going to be an easy week. So, all right, another injured player. So guy that near and dear to our hearts, Luis Severino. So he could begin throwing from a mound in the next week and be pitching in relief in the majors by the end of the month. Best case scenario is that the Yanks get him stretched out in time to start game one of the postseason. That would be something. I wouldn't expect that, but there's a long way to go. So what do you think about Severino? I've thought for a while it's a zero for him in 2019, but maybe Cashman's just been playing it coy. He just wants to bring him back for a stretch run. What do you think?
We've spoken on air, all three of us, in different conversations about Severino, whether or not, you know, this layoff was going to help him because he'd come back, you know, fresh and just be able to air it out, or whether, like you said before, whether we thought that maybe that this was just going to be a total loss season where we weren't going to see him. So, yeah, I mean, the fact matter is it's going to be a while before he's even able to, you know, be thought of as a starting pitcher. It's going to take a while for them to stretch him out. And, you know, what are we looking for as a best case scenario? Maybe, you know, a nice long-term relief role for him. And, you know, it's just, you know, there's been so many setbacks with Severino that you just take a pause, you know? So I really don't know what to think. It just, you just have to hope for the best and hope that, like I said, this layoff will allow him to just really just, you know, rear back and do what he does best and throw the ball, you know? But just hope for no more setbacks.
George, how about you on both Yankees coming back, Severino and Betances? So expectations of any kind for them? I don't know which guy I'm more worried about. I think I feel the same about both.
Well, fantasy-wise, no one really cares about Betances. He'll come back. He'll either pitch well or he won't. He's not going to be picked up anyway. The Yankees would like him back. Obviously, it strengthens that bullpen a little more. See what Betances can do. Betances, if he can throw the ball soon off a mound, should be back by the end of the month. Bringing Severino back at the end of the month for a relief role makes no sense for the Yankees. Just none. You don't need him in the bullpen. You have a big lead, unless that lead severely shrinks by then, which is always a possibility, but unlikely. So it's August 4th. Why aren't you completely stretching him out until he can start? And you think about it. It's 2 months till the
postseason
starts. That's more than enough time to stretch him out, to get, you know, get up to 100 pitches. More than enough time. You don't have too much of spring training. So I don't get what the Yankees are saying here. This is why I think Cashman is being a little coy here. Yeah, I do think he's being a little quirky. I think they do expect Severino to join the rotation. But now, whether or not he can start game one, anyone's freaking guess. You know, we've seen pitchers struggle in April when they first come up, right? Same thing with Severino. He may not be Severino. Mm-hmm. This whole year does seem like a zero. I think the Yankees right now, it's hope. Hope he can come back. Hope he can be the Severino of old. A lot of ifs. Just like Cleveland with Kluber and Carrasco. Same thing. You know, a lot of ifs here. You know, maybe he can come back and be that pitcher. If he can, well, you know, you throw Severino in there. Domingo German, if they can control his innings limit, and they'll do something in September to control his innings limit, all of a sudden you might have something. So if Paxton can pitch well, you know, so you have a nice top eight. It doesn't matter anywhere near close to Houston's, but it's something you can work with there. So I think that's what they're hoping for. For them to say he's going to be, you know, take the mound this week and then come back in the bullpen at the end of August makes no sense. You just don't need him in the bullpen. You know, I think the Yankees have a weak bullpen. They'd be fine with or without him. So I think you keep stretching him out until he can pitch or he can't pitch.
I'm with you, especially considering, Joe, that the Yankees have been I'm trying to figure a better way to phrase this. They've been open to using openers, but I'll lay that out for you. They're obviously using Chad Green in that role. They back him with Cortez. It doesn't mean that Severino has to come out there and fire seven strong and throw 100 pitches every time out. To George's point, they can stretch him out. He doesn't have to come out of the bullpen. Why would you have him come out of that role? He's not necessarily comfortable in it. Just have him start the games. And if he's only throwing three innings and he's at 50 pitches, so be it. The Yankees are piecing this together with 13, 14 pitchers, like George said, anyway. So why not just have him
do that?
That's
a great point. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point, especially with the
he has to come out of the bullpen,
right? Especially and with the bullpen behind him that would be able to take over if he's able to go two or three innings. And like you said, I like the way you phrase that, open to use an opener. So yeah, and then little by little they could stretch him out, and hopefully he'd be ready for the playoffs. So that's a good point,
George. I'll pick a couple other guys here. Sean Manea was his team's ace last season. He could be back in the majors within a week to bolster a rotation that added Tanner Roark and Homer Bailey in July. So thoughts there on Manea. I've seen him sort of getting bids in some leagues. I know he's transaction heavy right now with people picking up Manea in leagues where they weren't deep enough to own him. So you think Manea can provide a big spark? Obviously, we've seen some great stuff out of him, but it's been a while since he's been able to pitch.
Well, you said the key word that he's the Oakland A's ace, not really an ace.
True.
Maverick, and fantasy-wise, he's probably more of a 3-4, closer to a depth guy than a guy you can truly rely on. That being said, listen, most of us need starters. Right, you're talking advanced league. We start nine pitches. If you have nine that are better than Manea, hey, God bless you. God bless. Hey, you did well here. It's also strategy wise. I'm not in that league with you and Joe, but if I was, maybe Joe needs a starter. I don't. But hey, I'm not just giving it to Joe. I might bid on him just to try and block Joe from getting him. Because I know Joe really needs that guy, and I know Joe's bidding on him, so I'll block him. Or I need to try. I want to make sure. Price and force. I want to make sure he goes for a decent price. I'm not giving it to Joe for $2. And if Joe wants him, he damn well better have spent $11 for him because I'm going to bid $8. That sort of thing. We play that game all the time here to block people from getting him. But like I said, when it comes to outfielders and pitchers, I have a hard time that we when somebody comes available who's on your waiver wire that you don't need him. And you really look at your team to make sure you don't need the guy. There could be a case where, hey, I'm strong enough and I don't have much fab left. And I don't want to waste it on a position that I don't really need. I want to save my fab for someone else I might need in September or later in August. I get that. But other than that, I don't mind playing a little defense here. That's to keep a player from somebody else here, especially at outfield or like I said, outfield or starting pitching. We start five outfielders. We start nine pitchers. With the reserves, there are so many guys there. I just have a hard time thinking that Sean Manea isn't better than somebody on your team.
Yeah, I'm picking him up right now as we speak. I think I'm cutting Elias from Washington. He's day to day.
Yeah.
He's not giving me any.
Elias is useless right now. So, he is useless.
So that's it. I just did that. So there you go, Joe.
You got screwed. You want to bitch about that too? You got screwed. He got traded. Too bad. You lost saves.
Yeah, I did. The team really has taken a hit the last 2 weeks. So, all right, let's get a couple
full
more.
Full disclosure,
in here,
but my team has sucked in that league he's talking about. He's being very kind, Mr.
Yeah, you've been terrible.
My team.
You've been terrible. I think we play next week. So I need to make up some ground against you.
I'll try to be the spoiler. Yeah. My man Chris Davis is doing nothing
well,
for
hopefully
me
not against
this
me.
Year.
Spoil somebody else's run to the playoffs. Yeah. So, Jimmy Nelson, Joe. Even if his return is as a one or two inning reliever, it could be an important addition to a pitching starved team in a close race. I was surprised the Brewers didn't pull something off. But anyway, Jimmy Nelson coming back. It's not going to be fantasy relevancy as we're talking about here in terms of one or two inning relief. It's not going to be a closer role. So do you just think Jimmy Nelson can help put the Brewers in a better position come October?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at what he's done in the past, I mean, that he had that big 2017 season, But I mean, and you're right. I mean, who'd they pick up in this trade deadline? That was Jordan Lyles, and I think there was another move that they made. Yeah, the fantasy impact, minimal, none. And, you know, I mean, he might give them a little bit more depth, but not going to be. I don't think he's going to be a game changer for the Brewers, you know, come playoff time.
Yeah. Let's go one more in here. Yadier Molina could return next week, has the ability to impact his team in all sorts of ways. George, the Cardinals are in the mix. They're always in the mix, right? It's who the Cardinals are every year. They're in the mix. Sometimes they have great teams, sometimes not so great, but battling for the playoffs. Yadier Molina, obviously, emotional leader. So what do you think of the Cardinals, Yadi's impact, the Cardinals the rest of the way? You think they can win this division?
Well, nobody wants to win the division. I mean, the Cubs have issues. Brewers have so many issues with the pitching staff. It's scary. And the Cardinals have issues as well. So they all have issues there. I think this division's up for grabs. But once again, I think they're all playoff fodder. I don't think any of these teams are going anywhere. You know, they'll get in and see what they can do. Cubs may have lost Contreras now. That hurts again. As for the Cardinals, yeah, Molina does help. I think he helps more off the field than on the field. I think he's a leader now, not really all that great a hitter anymore. Still a solid catch, but he makes more mistakes now as well. Fantasy-wise, listen, you're in a 12-team league, he's a catcher. Pretty much any catcher that's breathing has value. As I mentioned, I expect Contreras to go on the IL today as well, or days before tomorrow, as he had a hamstring injury. And generally, teams, when it comes to catchers, automatically put you on the IL because they don't want to play with one. So catching is always valuable there. But if you want a handicap, fine, I'll go with the Cubs. I think they have the best starting pitching of the, and it's just the best of the trio. You know, I don't really love what the Cubs do starting pitching. Lester, Quintana, Hendricks, and those guys. But I think they're the best of the three teams, so I'll go with the Cubs to win the division. Cardinals aren't that far behind, but you brought up something before, and I agree with. Ozuna coming back with those fingers, I think he came back early. I have a hard time seeing that hand being fully healthy. I think he's gonna have issues hitting the rest of the year.
And he had setbacks during it. It was a 10-day DL thing, and then it was 2 weeks, then it was 3 weeks. Before we knew it was a month, and he was getting frustrated, talking about it, getting frustrated, and now here he is. He had two broken fingers. Like, that's going to take a while. It just is.
Tough to grip a bat.
To George's point about nobody wanting
fingers.
Yeah. to George's point about nobody wanting this division, the Cubs are 5-5 in their last 10. St. Louis is 6-4. Milwaukee's 4-6. So nobody wants it right now. And we got 7 weeks to go. We'll be right back to talk football in hour number 2.